Upagura Nashta Shri Kripana Vishaya Atmaka Nashta Pragya Rita Aishvarya Gandharva Yavanai Balat Kanyo Paguda Nashta Shri Kripana Vishayatmaka Nashta Pragyo Ritaishvaryo Gandharva Yavanarbala Kanyo Paguda Nashta Shri Kripana Vishayatmaka Nashta Pragyo Ritaishvaryo Gandharva Yavanarbala Svaryo Gandharva Yavanarbala Kanyo Paguda Nashto Sri Kripano Nijayatmaka Nadagrayo Daishvaryo Nirvayanayabala Upagoda Nashta Shri Novishayatmaka Nashta Pragyo Ritaishvaryo Daiva Yavanarabala. Ladies, Ayo Vitaishvaryo Darva Yavanarabala Kanyo Paguda Nashto Sri Kripano Vishayatmaka Nashta Pragyo Ritaishvaryo Gandharva Yavanarbala Kanya, the daughter of time, Upaguda, being embraced, Nashta Shri, bereft of all beauty, Kripana, miser, Vishaya Atmaka, addicted to sense gratification. Nashta Pragya, bereft of intelligence. Rita Aishvarya, bereft of opulence. Gandharva, by the Gandharvas. Yavanai, by the Yavanas. Balat, by force. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When King Paranjana was embraced by Kalya Kanya, he gradually lost all his beauty. Having been too much addicted to sex, he became very poor in intelligence and lost all his opulence. Being bereft of all possessions, he was conquered forcibly by the Gandharvas and the Yavanas. Please repeat. When King Paranjana was embraced by Kalya Kanya, he gradually lost all his beauty. Having been too much addicted to sex, he became very poor in intelligence and lost all his opulence. Being bereft of all possessions, He was conquered forcibly by the Gandharvas and the Yavanas. Purport. When a person is attacked by the invalidity of old age and is still addicted to sense gratification, he gradually loses all his personal beauty, intelligence, and good possessions. He thus cannot resist the forceful attack of the daughter of time. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatunde Ve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadhyade Satarne. For a materialist, this section is undoubtedly very depressing. There's nothing encouraging at all in this section of the Bhagavatam, especially that the very things that people are most enthusiastic about are not encouraged here. And at the same time, there's a constant remembrance or reminder that there's such a thing as time, something that everyone's trying to forget about. And not only that, but time acts upon those who are most addicted to the things that people are most enthusiastic about. And at the same time, they want to stay young forever. They want to enjoy sense gratification, and at the same time, they want to stay young forever. And they want scientists to come up with the solution how they can utilize all their vital energy and at the same time get more of it. Therefore it says, Tatas chanudinam dharma satvam socham dayashama kalena balaya raja nakshantya yor balam smriti. That day after day in Kali Yuga, the principles of dharma or religious life will go down. Tatas chanudinam dharma satvam socham. Cleanliness and truthfulness are the two most important brahminical qualifications. They'll decrease day after day. And of course, internal cleanliness means to be Krishna conscious, and external cleanliness means to wash your hands, and also to avoid things like, as we hear in the Bhagavatam, that illicit sex destroys cleanliness. And truthfulness, no one knows what the people think, that the truth is to gratify the senses unto the end of life, according to what Krishna says. As soon as they reject that there is such a thing as a higher purpose of life, namely ultimately liberation from material existence, as soon as they reject an ultimate goal, namely to revive our relationship with the Supreme Person, then the result is that their only objective of life is prayas, namely to satisfy the temporary urges that are arising from the senses and from the mind. And the idea of checking the force of desire and anger, as Krishna says, kama krodha vimuktanam yati shaknoti naiva yaksodum praksharira vimokshanat kama krodha bhavan vegam yuktasa sukhinara. Shaknoti haiva. So the forces are generating from the body. Shaknoti haiva yak shodum. Shodum means to tolerate. So one has to learn how to tolerate the urges of the senses. Shaknoti haiva yak shodum. Praksharira vimokshana. If one actually wants to get liberated from the bodily concept of life, it's not possible to serve the senses and at the same time become liberated from the bodily concept of life. Or at least, especially not serve them without any unrestrictedly. Our restriction, of course, is that we serve the senses in Krishna's service. And therefore we eat prasadam as necessary to maintain the body. We sleep for Krishna, etc. But just to serve the senses without any higher purpose simply will keep one in the bodily concept of life. We're already in the bodily concept of life. We're already attached to our false ego. We're attached to the false conceptions that go along with the false ego. And therefore, to keep on serving the fire of material desire simply means that our false ego will simply increase. If one acts in the false ego platform, then the false ego simply increases. Even if one, like Hiranyakashipu, denies his senses, but his objective was to get better sense gratification, and therefore his false ego didn't diminish at all. Not only that, but he was doing it contrary to the desire of Krishna. And therefore he was considered to be, although he went through great austerity, he was still considered a great demon. Tatsadu manye suya varya dehinam sada samudvigna dhyama satgrahat. He was considered Asurya Varya, the best of the demons, or the biggest demon. Why? Because his intelligence was misdirected, and therefore he was full of anxiety. As long as we keep on directing our intelligence to trying to figure out how to control and enjoy the material nature, then the result is we'll be full of anxiety. Because the very desire is anxious. The very desire to want to control and enjoy material nature in itself is full of anxiety. And then when we try and do it, ultimately it'll prove to be unsuccessful, and therefore the lamentations that come along with that will also be proved to be full of unhappiness. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu undoubtedly went through austerity, but because his aim was something temporary, therefore, although he wanted to become immortal, but he wanted to become immortal in a temporary material world. Imagine if he did become immortal, the whole world disappears. The whole universe, Mahavishnu, breathes in, and he's the only one left in the middle of the Brahma Jyoti, trying to figure out what happened. Fortunately for him, it didn't work like that. But he was so much in anxiety that even his little son, 5 years old, didn't listen to him. He became full of anxiety. He wasn't a very good parent, I guess. But anyhow, here it says that as we become more addicted to sense gratification, so time will act even more forcefully upon us. And we lose all our opulence. So opulence doesn't mean that we have our cars and our videos and our computers. People think that this is opulence. But if they themselves have no brain to utilize these things, then what is the value of the opulence? If you're blind and deaf, you can't move, and you have a 3D computer, what is the value of it? So as we lose our consciousness, so we become more blind, we become more deaf, we become more disabled. Everything that is actually opulent in this world, like cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, satyam, socham, daya, shama, and tolerance. And balena kaliya rajan, by the strong force of Kali Yuga, nakshantyayur, our duration of life is being diminished. Balam, our bali strength. And smriti, our memory. People can't even remember where they left their keys. It's a big thing. From one moment to the next. Now they have to have some invention where you have a... What do they have? Something you press it and then your key blinks or something, or it makes a sound. Of course, if you lose that device, then you have to have another device. First we forgot who we were, and then we forgot everything else. Therefore, the solution is, although we cannot avoid, as it says in Srimad Bhagavatam, which I just forgot the verse, that both by the rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's duration of life is lost, except for those who are actually studying the all good Supreme Personality of Godhead. Udan aso. Does anyone know that verse? What's that? Yeah, Iru Harati Vaipum Sam Nashan Nayura something. Both by the rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's duration of life is being lost. In other words, if we identify ourselves with this body, obviously life is not very good, because every day means that we're getting closer to drying up and then becoming a prune, just shriveling up and then disappearing. Not exactly a happy future. Just like we said, if you look at your lifeline on your hand, what can you discover about your life? Ultimately, you can discover that there's a beginning and then there's an end. That's your future. Not very pleasant. Unless you consider a happy death day. But that's what everyone is, no one sings, happy death day to you, happy death day. Although along with death day, there's going to be another birthday, which is also not a happy day either. It may be happy for everyone, but it's not happy for the person who has the birthday. Matter of fact, to introduce you to the world, they slap you until you cry. Happy birthday. It wasn't very happy. As soon as he came out, they were screaming and crying. Let me back in. This is the way they treat me. Why should I bother, coming out? In any case, every day in the material world means that we're getting a little closer to the end of this world, namely to leaving our body. But for one who actually utilizes one's time to becoming Krishna conscious, then old age doesn't really affect one. In proportion to our Krishna consciousness, we don't worry about old age. Although Krishna says, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanudarshana. Birth, death, old age, and disease, these are the actual miseries of material life. Everyone would like to avoid them, but because they can't avoid them, therefore they pretend that they don't affect us. We pretend that these things are not really so important in our life because we can't do anything about them, therefore we deny them or we cover them over. Makeup, whatever, I don't know what else they do. Like nowadays, 80-year-old people dress up, especially in America, as if they were 15 years old. Because they just want to pretend that they're actually 15 years old. And they put up so much makeup, they might as well wear a mask. Why bother putting on makeup? Just so they can pretend that they're actually something that they're actually not, that they're in some other position. But the point is that they are in another position. They're actually transcendental to the material nature. This body doesn't really affect the soul at all, whether it's old or young or in between, that actually the soul is always the same. The difference is that if one, during this lifetime, cultivates Krishna consciousness, then in old age, one should actually be wise. As I said the last time, they usually say that wisdom comes with old age. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, wisdom usually comes alone. Old age usually comes alone. But if one cultivates Krishna consciousness throughout this life, even there is misery in old age to the body, but that simply serves as an impetus to focus one's attention more upon Krishna. And as soon as one sincerely focuses one's attention upon Krishna in a happy mood, not that I am forced to focus my attention on Krishna, but even then, Krishna is so wonderful that any way we focus our attention on Krishna, there'll be some purification, if not satisfaction, ultimately bliss. So old age is certainly an impetus. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that without old age, disease, and death, and ultimately the prospect of taking birth again, then there is no impetus for a spiritual advancement. In the subterranean heavenly planets, there is no sun. Therefore, no one knows what date it is. No one keeps a calendar there, because there's no way of judging how much time has gone by. Yet everyone is eternal, is permanently youthful there, and there is no of the disabilities that we have in this world. Namely, they don't even sweat. There is no envy. There is no anxiety. Everything is in abundance. Everything is wonderful there. All the senses are fully youthful, and everything is enjoyable. But they don't know when they're going to die. And therefore, they're always afraid of the Sudha Sanchakra is going to come and take their life away. And indeed, they do die. Although they like pretend they're going to live forever. So without that impetus for death, the anxiety for death or the fear of death, then there's very little impetus for making spiritual advancement. It is said that even Lord Brahma, when the demons were discussing about attacking Vrindavan, killing the cows and attacking the Vaishnavas there, after Kamsa had tried to smash Devaki and Vasudeva's little child on the stone, and she flew up in the air and became Durga, then Kamsa became very repentant because he was a devotee of Durga. And therefore he thought that, why, I just tried to destroy my worshipful deity. So he was a little repentant. And he thought that this Devaki and Vasudeva, I thought they were just ordinary persons, but if you can have Durga as your child, they must be a little special. So he was a little repentant. He released them. He asked for forgiveness. He preached something about, we're not this body, and we're all under the laws of nature, forgive me. But then ultimately the next day when he came in contact with his friends, and do you know who his friends were? Anyone know some of his ministers? He had quite a cabinet. Who were his ministers? Does anyone know? He had very famous ministers. Which ones? Putana, Bakasura, Agasura, Trinavarta, all of them were all a part of the cabinet. Imagine getting together and having a conference with these people. You can't expect the mode of goodness to come out. We really want to express the goodness in our heart. They probably did, but there was nothing there. So after a few seconds of associating with these demons, they decided the only thing we can do is go to Vrindavan and kill all the cows and attack the Vaishnavas and do anything we can that's irreligious. That way we can kill Vishnu indirectly. But at the same time, they said that no one's going to stop us from doing that. And they mentioned that Brahma, he's so much in anxiety about his death that he's sitting somewhere meditating. Because right now, Brahma's life is halfway done. He only has 150 trillion years left. His time is ticking away. So he's sitting somewhere and meditating. And, of course, Indra, he said, Indra is like a fig in comparison. He can only talk, but in the battlefield, he's insignificant. And Shiva, I guess, what is Shiva doing? I forget what Shiva was. Anyhow, they weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of Brahma because he's meditating out of fear of death. But we ourselves, we have no such fear because we have a long time to live. But when one realizes that my time is very short, I must focus my attention upon Krishna and become Krishna conscious, otherwise I may be in some difficult situation. So here, although invalidity and old age are attacking Paranjana, because he was addicted to sense gratification, he had lost all his Krishna conscious intelligence, And therefore he was simply lamenting. Rather than focusing attention upon Krishna, which would have ultimately solved his problems and freed him from even the temporary suffering of old age, disease, and ultimately death. One becomes transcendental to material nature, then even the temporary afflictions of material nature will not bother one. Therefore it says, dharmak priyojita kaitavotra paramo... No. Janmadyasya yaton vayat itar tarsh chaiteshva bayam surat tene brahmaridaya taravika... Actually, it was right the first time. Dharmak priyojita kaitavotra paramonimatsarana saptam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shilanam tapot mulanam tapatra lo mulanam. So this Bhagavatam, ultimately, tapo tra mulanam. Tapa means miseries of material existence, and trapa means the threefold miseries, and ulanam means it uproots the threefold miseries of material existence. If one becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness, like Pariksha Maharaj, even the snake bird is going to come and bite. One is in bliss. When Durvasa Muni, when they threw his fiery weapon at Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj simply focused his attention on Krishna, and there were tears of ecstasy in his eyes. How many people, when they would be attacked by a spear that's blazing, would have tears of ecstasy in his eyes? Not so many. And what is the secret? He immediately focuses his full attention upon Krishna. So that's the way of getting rid of the threefold miseries. Of course, that takes some practice. But we should take that practice seriously, not thinking that I have all the time in the world to practice, and when I get old I can't do anything else, then I'll practice. 5 minutes before I have to leave my body, I'll put in a good effort. And after many lifetimes, that should build up. No, one should try to practice from the beginning of whenever one can understand the urgency. Therefore, the Bhagavatam, 9 cantos, dealing with trying to get us to become urgent about becoming Krishna conscious and not thinking that that's something that's going to happen in the future, when some distant future when I can't enjoy anymore, then I'll take it seriously. But in the meantime, I may not be the body, but it's good to have a material body, especially if you want to lord it over the material nature and enjoy it. So fortunately, we may think, I may not be the body, but I have a good opportunity to enjoy and lord it over with this body. And if I get another body, certainly it'll be in the heavenly planets, and I'll have even a better opportunity to enjoy the material nature there. So life is good, and why try to become too radical or fanatical? So, thank you. Any questions? Yes. Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu can answer that. Did you hear the question? He's asking about anxiety and lording it over and managing an ISKCON. Of course, for the ISKCON managers, there's no anxiety. It's all spiritual. So it doesn't really apply. But why would you become so much anxious? You know, why do we want to control? Ultimately, the real fear we have is death. We're not going to get enough to eat, or there won't be enough air. So we want to arrange things in such a way as to make sure there's enough air, there's enough necessities that I need, so I won't die. That's the real anxiety. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu, he thought he had all his bases covered. Although in the back of his mind, he must have been thinking that this might not work, because the person who gave him all the benedictions said, I'm going to die. So obviously he must have thought I was being a little tricky, but maybe it's not going to work. And when this five-year-old boy said, get lost, then he thought, what's going on? Maybe he knows something I don't know. That was his reaction. Therefore, he immediately was in anxiety. He'd get rid of this boy. And then when he couldn't get rid of the boy, whatever he did to the boy, he was more invincible than Hiranyakashipu. Imagine what Hiranyakashipu thought. This boy was thrown over a cliff. He was trampled by an elephant. He was put into a pit of poisonous snakes. And nothing happened. He was just chanting, you know, Krishna, Hare Krishna. So he became more and more anxiety, because he thought he's as powerful as I am. And when he asked, what's your secret, Prahlad? He said, my secret is chanting Hare Krishna. And that was the name of his enemy. So the thing he feared the most was being right in front of his face. So he's completely in anxiety. Probably meditate on Prahlad 24 hours a day, which was quite good. Anything else? Okay. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.